The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They'll pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." The Gospel of the Lord. I personally find conversion stories fascinating. I find it really fascinating studying conversion stories, and every conversion comes about in a different way. Among the most famous conversion stories in the world, I'll mention a few. Outside the Bible, obviously the most famous conversion story is that of St. Augustine, of the Confessions. That would be, I don't think anyone would debate on that. That's number one. And that came about gradually, because he was addicted to sex. That was a problem. Many people today have addictions. He was addicted to sex, and to break that addiction was hard. He would say, "Lord, give me chastity, but not yet." That was his honest prayer. But that did come about eventually through the prayers and tears of his mother, Saint Monica, but also by him being open to inspiration, where his totally legit, he heard the voice of what seemed to be a little child that was singing, and it was really an angel, and he goes into the garden in Milan and he opens up the Bible, Romans 13:13, do not give in to the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he received the final coup de grace, they say, the final moment in which he was open to God's grace and baptized by Saint Ambrose, and became priest, bishop, and one of the greatest doctors in the church. Now, probably the most famous conversion in England was the saint that was canonized about 9 months ago, Cardinal Newman. Having studied English literature before I was a priest, I was privileged to be able to read quite a few of his writings. No, The Idea of the University, the idea of what his Catholic education should be about, some of his tractates, which would be his sermons, some of his beautiful prayers, the prayer that Mother Teresa would say after communion, is basically taken from Cardinal Newman. Okay, "Let them look up and no longer see me, but you, Jesus." That's Cardinal Newman, not Mother Teresa. No? And his most beautiful poem, "Lord, lead gently into the light. Lead gently into the light." Beautiful poem, if you like poetry. But his conversion came about through studying the fathers of the church. In church history, if you're an expert in Newman, which I think some of you are, right? So it came about through various causes, but through serious study. And he said, he who studies church history will be led into the Church of Rome. That's Newman. Because you see all the fallacies that are present in the other churches. Okay, probably the most famous convert in the United States is probably Scott Hahn. Okay? Scott Hahn, and then Kimberly Hahn. Now that being said, what about us? Are we converted? Hello? Well, hold your horses, okay? There is what is called a radical conversion, and then there is what is called a daily conversion. Probably most of you are not card-carrying Marxist communists or drug dealers, or, you know, probably not, I hope not. But all of us have to go through a conversion. All of us have to go through a conversion, a daily conversion. So I'd like to give you what's called the evolutionary process of conversion. You study the mystical life, okay? There's a certain evolution, which means a certain development. So I'll give you the steps. And I hope and pray that this will be useful in your conversion and understanding other people. First step of conversion is the humble recognition that we are sinners and need God's grace. That has to be the first step. That's the first step. The humble recognition that we are sinners and we are in dire need of God's grace. Without that attitude of humility, there's no conversion. There's no conversion. Person that scares me most is the person who says, "Father, I have no sin." That person scares me most because he's totally blind. No one can say that he has no sin except Mary and Jesus. And maybe John the Baptist after the encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary in the visitation. None of us can say, "I have no sin." Second step is a humble confession to God and to the priest that we are sinners. I said to God, but also to the priest. So in Protestants, they say to me, "Why? I confess directly to God. You know what I do? I'm a penitent like you people, and I might be the best penitent here in this church. I confess to God first, then I confess to the priest. I don't know about you people." Maybe none of you do that, but I first confess to God, and I tell God I'm sorry. Then I go to the priest. Otherwise, I think you're not confessing well. First, "God, I'm sorry." Then you go to the priest and you confirm that by articulating it to the minister of Christ, who's the priest, the Alto Christus. But you first confess to God. And then what happens is, if we've had bad habits in our past, then those bad habits gradually are overcome. Now, those bad habits are not overcome. We don't believe in Pelagianism or Americanism or horizontalism. We believe that we overcome those bad habits through grace and prayer. Now, if you people here are making your holy hour, you hear me? If you're making your holy hour sincerely and you're really struggling maybe, if you're making your holy hour sincerely every day, there's going to be a gradual conversion. But if you give up the holy hour, most likely you're destined to a life of mediocrity. Okay? Will you make it to heaven? Probably. But as Professor Vohl said in the Angelicum when I was studying moral theology, just with your pants burnt, you're barely getting in the back door, okay? By the seat of your pants, no? But I certainly don't want that to be my case. I want to really love God fully and totally. So faithfulness to the holy hour. You hear me? Faithfulness to the holy hour is key to conversion. And Teresa of Avila says, either you give up prayer and you go back to sin, or you pursue prayer and you overcome sin. That's Teresa of Avila. I like that. If you give up sin, you give up your holy hour, you just go back to a life of mediocrity, sin. Or you pursue your holy hour and you ascend. You ascend. Okay, the next step is this. Sooner or later in your conversion process, you're going to meet a very important person. That person is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen? I don't see how any Catholic can really arrive at a deep conversion without really falling in love with the Blessed Mother. Do you agree with that? If you really fall in love with the Blessed Mother, she's going to help you to go deeper in conversion. Okay, right now, buckle your seatbelts because I'm preparing you for this gradually, no? As well as myself. To arrive at mystical union, as John the Cross says, you have to go through humiliations. Amen or oh me. It's an oh me, right? And with that, is you got to go through suffering. And I'm not saying this to scare you away, but I probably know mystical theology better than most of you. Okay? If you've ever read the writings of St. John of the Cross, who's a great doctor of the Church, his three classics are Spiritual Canticle, right? Which is a commentary on the Song of Songs. And the next is the Ascent to Mount Carmel, which he utilizes an analogy of the spiritual life is like climbing a mountain, okay? And I don't know if any of you have climbed mountains. I have. In Europe, South America, and the United States, I've got experience, no? I'm not an excellent mountain climber, but I've done it, no? It's not easy. But 4 years ago, my younger brother said, hey, you're on vacation, let's climb mountains. Oh, boy. So we climb out Kearsarge in New Hampshire at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it was really tough because the rocks and the surface were very slippery. And his children climbed up the mountain. They were like rabbits, and their older uncle falling and tripping and bruising himself. Come on, Father Ed, let's go. Come on. Don't be a wimp. No, come on. It was hard work. Because in that, you got to zigzag. And if you climb the mountain, you got to kind of zigzag. You have to avoid this pitfall and this rock and that. No? Not to imagine, not to mention the foxes, the wolves, and the coyotes, no? So making the top, that's the spiritual life. So it's hard climbing. Then the last classic of John the Cross is called The Dark Night of the Soul. And that St. John the Cross gives us an image that I'll leave you with. He said, our spiritual life, our soul can be compared to a rusty piece of iron. Have you ever seen a rusty piece of iron? But you put that in a blazing fire. Remember, Dad would always have bonfires in New England in October, November, no? These huge bonfires, no? So you put that rusty piece of iron. What's going to happen? Fran? Okay, it's going to be transformed into the fire. So that piece of iron becomes the part of the fire. Same property. So the rusty iron, it was dark. It was rusty. It was cold. It exuded a bad smell. After it's there for 3 hours, don't grab it with your hands. It becomes like the fire. That's the closing stages of conversion, is the Holy Spirit, the fire of God's love, has to purify our memory, our understanding, our imagination, our affections, our emotions, our body, our heart, even the most secret intentions of our heart have to be burned away by the firing blaze of the Holy Spirit. And then we can say with the person that we celebrate today, we can say with St. Paul, it's no longer I who live, it is Christ who lives in us.